They ain't nobody in America or England or Africa or South America has ever even seen the original manuscripts. They do not exist. They are nowhere in the world today. You think a piece of newspaper could last 2,000 years? There is no way in the world. And if they are preserved somewhere, nobody knows where they're at. So they copied. And they copied, and they copied, and they copied, and they copied, and they copied. Now about 150 to 180 AD, somebody started messing with it. And they begin to mess with this scripture, and somebody had some weird ideas, like that thing I showed you about Jesus and the Christ coming on him when he's 30 years old and then leave him when he got baptized. And somebody said, hey, I don't believe that's right. So they took out Lord out of that verse. They took out hell. They took out the deity of Christ. They took out different things. Now, what that did was that started a new line of manuscripts. Now, in church history, you've got like two trees growing. One set of manuscripts is over here. The other set of manuscripts is over here. Now, the way a scholar, the way a Bible teacher in a seminary judges a Greek text is by how old it is. And they automatically believe that the older a text is, the more accurate it is. Why? Because it would be closer to those original manuscripts. All right, let's say the original manuscripts were old and wore out. Then 100 years later, all you had was that one. First thing you know, all them were wore out. All you had was that one. A few hundred years later, all them was wore out. All you had was that one. You're coming up 100 AD, 1000 AD, 1200 AD, 1500 AD, and that's all you have. Now, the text that the King James Bible was taken from is called Textus Receptus. That's what, you turn that around, it means, Textus means a text, and Receptus means received. Received text. It was the text that the common, ordinary, everyday, common Christian accepted in that day. These manuscripts went back to, say, right in here. Let's just say that for right now. Okay? The manuscripts that the King James Bible was taken from basically go back to, say, right in here. Now, with these other line of manuscripts going over here, let's say this is another line of manuscripts. Now, here's the original right there. The original's done gone and wore out. Somebody else writes one, and it's got a lot of changes in it. There it is. But the common Christians of that day would not even fool with this one because it changed what the book said. Now, does everybody understand me so far? All right, we got two lines of manuscripts. Here's the original. Peter, Paul, James, John. They faded out. Here goes these manuscripts, but they wore out. Here goes these, but they wore out. Here goes these, but they wore out. Somebody writes these, and people say, "Foot, I ain't fooling them things. Them ain't no good. They change. They leave out 1 John 5, 7. They leave out Romans 8, part of verse 1. They leave out Acts 8, 37. And so what do you do? What do you do with a book at your house that you're not interested in? It goes on the shelf, right? Now, them things go on the shelf. Right there they are. On the shelf, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. These books here don't get put on the shelf. They get used, so they get wore out. Now watch. As time goes on, another manuscripts translated. Other manuscripts translated. And all we've had for 300 years in this country, excuse me, is the King James Bible. If you walked up to anybody in America in 1800... and said, "Where's the Bible?" they'd show you a King James Bible. If you walked up to anybody in America and said, "Where's the Bible?" in 1750, 1850, 1860, they'd have said, "Right there, the King James Bible." But Something happened in 1880. And in 1880, these guys were digging around. And they were these scholars, and they were looking around, and they found two manuscripts. And they found these two right here. And one of them they found in the Vatican over in Rome in a trash can. And they called it Vaticanus. That comes from Vatican. And boy, when they found that thing, you know how scholars are. These Greek scholars and stuff, they go, "Oh, it's holy. This is the oldest manuscript ever found." Right? It's older than what the King James came from. So they say, "Oh, can you imagine this? Oh, these are older manuscripts. We've really got something here." And they dug out another one, and they found it in a monastery. Now notice that. Would you want a Bible that comes from the Vatican? Mm-mm. Or a monastery? You know what a monastery is? It's a home for unwed fathers. That's right, brother. I'm not trying to be ugly. That's true. They found babies' bones all over in them catacombs, then them tunnels underneath them where them monks live and all that stuff. It's where monasters live. Okay. Look. Here's the original manuscript. All right? Somebody copied them. Now, if they wrote that one and we wrote this one and I used this in 15 hours a day, it ain't going to be long until it's wore out. But I never used that one. So it stays on the shelf. That one's done wore out and gone. I use this one, da-da-da-da-da. It's wore out and gone. You see what I'm saying? They get these from this. That's as far back as they can go because it's all wore out and gone. The reason these manuscripts are so old, because nobody used them. Right? So the scholars go back and they find these two, Vaticanus and Sinaiticus. And they come out and they go, just like Moses coming down with the Ten Commandments. And they say, "Look what we've found." And in 1880 come out the Revised Standard Version of the Bible, or the Revised Version, and we've had nothing but a flood of new Bibles on the market. Now the RSV, the ASV, the new ASV, the NIV, every new Bible on the market translates from these two manuscripts because they are older than what the King James was taken from, and the scholars automatically take for granted that if something's older, that it's more perfect and closer to the original. But what they don't realize is those manuscripts are older because nobody ever used them, and they put them on the shelf and they stayed and they never did get wore out. So, every time you pick up a Bible nowadays, you hear a preacher on the radio nowadays, he'll read the King James and he will say this. The original Greek says. And when you hear a man on the radio say, "The Greek..." Now, if you listen to WMIT, I listen to WMIT a lot. About all those guys on there do that. About all them guys. You'll hear Chuck Swindoll do that. You'll hear J. Vernon McGee do that. You hear a lot of those guys have some good things, and I'm not knocking them, but I'm just saying this. When they say the Greek, that's what they're talking about. These two manuscripts right here. So what they're doing is they are taking two manuscripts that nobody would fool with in the early centuries to correct your King James Bible that you've been trying to live by all these years. And that's a big mistake. That's a big mistake. And that's why they say that the King James Bible is not the right one. Now right here, I've got the... See this Jehovah's Witness Bible? There's where it come from. See? You see this? The New International Version used by the Baptists? There's where it come from. You see this right here? The New King James, it tells you that it comes from this. But a lot of these readings, as I showed you last week, creep into the New King James. And I got a whole list of them that I could show you. Here, you know that old book that you got? The old book that me and you got comes from this line. Now, this is the line that God used to preach revival meetings. This is the line that God used to send revival to the use evangelist, and the Lord said, by their fruit ye shall know them. So your King James Bible comes from this line of manuscripts. The modern day versions come from this line of manuscript. And anytime you are in a church, or anytime you're listening to a preacher, or anytime you're listening to the radio, and a preacher comes on there and he says, the King James says this, but in the Greek, it actually reads, what he's doing is he's taking these two manuscripts and correcting your King James. Because 99 times out of 100, the Greek that a kid learns in Bible school is this line of manuscripts. So you can, what they try to get you to believe is that all these versions are taken from the King James and just making it easier to understand. That's not true at all. Yes, sir. That's Greek and Hebrew. I'm just saying Greek, but it's Greek and Hebrew. There were, like, Paul and them had all the Old Testament. Then they wrote the New Testament. And I'm just saying Greek, but it's really Greek and Hebrew, all these are. But the text that the King James was translated from is called Textus Receptus. And if I'm not mistaken, somebody correct me on this if I'm wrong, that includes the Old Testament Hebrew and New Testament Greek. Okay? Now, what we got is two lines of Bibles, two families. And they contradict each other. Now, anytime two contradict each other, one of them is wrong or both of them is wrong. They cannot both be right. If they are both wrong, we've had it. Amen? If they're both wrong, we've had it. If they're both wrong, we're out of business. If they're both wrong, I have no word of God to preach. Now, if you went to Asheville this morning, and you called up the first 50 preachers you find in the phone book and said, do you believe the Bible is the Word of God? His automatic answer would be, yes. But out of those 50, most of those, when they say the Bible, are talking about that. You say, oh, you mean you believe the King James Bible is the Word of God? No, he says. That is just a translation. The Bible in the original manuscript was the Word of God. Now, if you don't believe what I'm saying, you go to any seminary. If you don't believe what I'm saying, you check out Fruitland. You check out any of these little colleges around here, Bible college. I know I've got their statement of faith in here where they've mailed it to me. And it says this. It says, we believe the Bible to be the verbally inspired Word of God in the original autographs. Which means what? That don't mean nothing. It's pretty hard to believe in a Bible you ain't never seen. They never seen the original autographs. What they believe is the Bible was the Word of God. Amen? That's what they believe. They don't believe the Bible is the Word of God. They believe the Bible was the Word of God. And now all we have is translations that have errors in it. You don't believe what I'm saying? I got a little article here I want to share with you this morning. I hate to make you nauseated with all this stuff, but this is the mess American Christianity's in. I forgot. One of these boys give me this. Come out of a Christian magazine. And they just put out a brand new version. This version is called the New RSV, the Best Translation. That's what they said about the last 25. Now listen to this biblical scholar who is from Auburn Theological Seminary. This is where preachers are trained to preach. Listen to it. Now, listen carefully. Throughout my career as a biblical scholar, I have used the Revised Standard Version of the Bible in my classes. Though I noted its rare deficiencies, I little expected its sequel to be such a thoroughgoing improvement. Indeed, as I examined the New Testament section of the New Revised Standard Version line by line, I was astonished by the almost unerring precision. Almost unerring. Here's a guy reading this new Bible and say, it's almost unerring. According to him. See? 51 other English translations of the New Testament have appeared since the RSV and was published 44 years ago, but the new RSV now takes its place as the finest American translation yet. The new, listen to him throw off on these other versions. The New International Version is, in my view, too literal, wooden, halting. The Good News Bible is at times inspired in its renderings, at others not. Now this guy just expects you to take his word for it, that he's going to tell you what's inspired and what's not inspired. Just because he's big, you know, just because he's educated. And now he's going to tell all us people what is the Word of God and what's not the Word of God. Okay? The Jerusalem Bible, if one is strong enough to lift it, is a superb translation, though I often regret the changes made in the second edition. The Revised English Bible of 1989, this new one just come out last year, is, if anything, more literary than the new RSV and truly excellent version, but it is less close in its renderings to the originals. Hear that? Now, what does that make an uneducated Christian think? That makes an uneducated Christian think that this guy has the originals and he can read Greek, so he knows which one of these English translations is best because he can read the original Greek. That guy is lying. He cannot read no original Greek. We'll take up an offering of all the independent Baptists in the South and give him $1 million cash if he can show on TV a picture of the original Greek. There ain't no such thing. Listen to this. This ought to make you mad. It's closest to the originals and a bit, well, British as it should be. Listen to this. The King James Version is simply not based on the better Hebrew and Greek manuscripts. Here, now, you know, everybody know what he said now, right? You know what he's saying? The King James Bible is not based on the best Greek manuscripts. Why do they believe them's the best? Because they're older. Why are they older? Because nobody uses them. You go up here and buy two new books just alike and put them on your shelf and use one 5 hours a day and don't ever touch the other one and see which one's oldest. Winds up the oldest. And 100 years from now, you won't be able to find the one you use 5 hours a day. But that don't mean that one's best. These scholars think if something's older, it's better. Now, sometimes it is, but sometimes it ain't. Listen to this. The King James Version is simply not based on the better Hebrew and Greek manuscript and is full of errors. Boy, there you got it, ain't you? Does that bother you? That book that you get up and read over your children when they're sick and you claim for God to get a hold of your kids and save their soul and takes you through the hard times and gives you uplift when you're down and out and when you don't know where your payday, next paycheck's coming in and God's let you lean on them words all these years and put your faith in them. And here's a guy saying it's full of errors. That's a big statement to make, buddy. That's a big statement to make. Now, he expects you to just take his word for it. It's full of errors. According to who? According to him. According to us, it ain't full of errors. Amen? According to us, it ain't got no errors. You say, well, you don't know Greek. I don't need Greek. I've got the Word of God in English. If I've got the Word of God in English, what do we need Greek for? Let me tell you something, brother. If this wasn't the Word of God, it wouldn't do us no good to learn Greek, because in Greek it ain't the Word of God neither. They don't have the originals. Amen? In other words, if we don't have the Word of God here, we're in a mess. We're in a mess. All right. Unlike the RSV translators who bore the onus of adhering as closely as possible to the KJV,
because the faithful had memorized it. He knew people had memorized it in churches, and people wouldn't use his Bible if it didn't sound a lot like the King James. You'll notice that all the modern translations, they always compare themselves to the King James. Now, I've noticed this in sports, I've noticed it in music, and I've noticed it in religion. The one that people are always comparing themselves to is the man that's on top. You know, when people got, when boys are out here playing ball, Michael Jordan, boy, he can beat Michael Jordan. He can beat. Now, what does that mean? That means Michael Jordan is top dog, right? That just means the one that people's always comparing somebody to. What do you think about old Larry Bird? Huh? You think he can beat Jordan? You think, see, that's all you hear. Because he's tops. You take in politics field, who's everybody compare everybody to? George Bush. He's top dog. You take all these modern versions, they're always saying, the King James, the King James, the King James. Every new translation that comes out, they don't compare themselves to the last 50 new translations. It's always to the same one, the King James. You know why? Because it's on top. That's the world's bestseller right there, brother. That's the world's bestseller. That's God's book. Okay. The these and the thous have been dropped. An enormous number of small changes have been introduced with stunning achievement. Oh, listen to this phrase this old boy uses. What makes the new RSV a quantum leap forward? You know that quantum leap? You know what that is? Didn't we study that few Sunday nights ago when I was preaching on the New Age? When you hear somebody say a quantum leap, that's New Age phrases, and that's New Age talk, brother. This guy's been reading the wrong kind of books. He's a New Age preacher. The Shulamite maiden is not just dark but comely, but black and beautiful. I got a whole bunch of pages here of stuff. Listen to this. Here's why he likes it. Turn in your Bibles to Romans 16. I'll show you something. Romans 16. Now here Paul's getting ready to close out the book of Romans. And you look in Romans 16:1. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea. There's old faithful Phoebe, a servant of the church. Your King James Bible says servant. The RSV says deaconess, a woman deacon. Now watch it now. Look in here what he says. Phoebe is not a deaconess, as the RSV says, but a deacon, fully an equal of men, and benefactor or patron, not just a helper. In other words, the King James Bible hurt this boy's feeling because it said she's a servant. And the RSV hurt it because he said deaconess. He wants it to say deacon, making a woman equal with a man, that she can be a deacon just like a man. You know what kind of preacher we're dealing with here, don't you? You know why he says the new RSV is the best one yet. It agrees with his liberal views. Amen? You see, I know this is a mess. It's just like trying to unravel a plate of spaghetti, man. And you got to finally get to the place where you just trust God to give you his word. Because ain't none of us got enough sense to figure it all out. But we ain't stupid. You know, I wasn't born yesterday, and we didn't start out in this stuff last week. And it don't take you long to begin to identify a crook by the way he talks. All right? Phoebe is a deacon. Now, there might be some of you in here saying, well, what's wrong with Phoebe being a deacon? There's a lot wrong with Phoebe being a deacon. Phoebe can't be no deacon. Now, the Bible says, look out, seven men. Full of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 3, it gives the qualifications for a deacon. And it says, one that rules his house well has his children and the husband of one wife. Phoebe can't be no husband of one wife. If she's a husband of one wife, she still can't be a deacon. She's a lesbian. Amen. But now, you see, the First Baptist Church in Asheville has 6 women deacons. First Baptist Church in Asheville, North Carolina. I think one of that was a few years ago. I don't know how many they got now. I don't know how many deacons they got. 6 women. Now, I'm not trying to hurt you ladies' feelings or nothing like that, but you ain't going to get to be no deacon here. It ain't my fault. I didn't write the Bible. I'm not trying to be ugly. I don't want to start a war, but it's just for one reason. We believe the Bible. We believe the Bible. If you're going to have a woman deacon, you might as well have a woman pastor. Amen? Have a woman come out here and get her pocketbook and high heels and slam her head down. You say, well, I just don't believe I can stand that, preacher. It'd be the same thing. My daddy said his aunt was a preacher. Nobody in his family was ever a Christian. He said he had an aunt that was a preacher. He can remember her preaching when he was little. That ain't going to work. That ain't going to work. Phoebe, in your King James, it says she's a servant. Now, a person can be the servant of a church without holding the office of a deacon. Secretary can be a servant. Somebody who runs errands for the church can be a servant. But deacon is an office. Amen? That's why the fellow believes the new RSV. That's where old Phoebe snuck in. Right here. Trying to sneak in and get on the deacon board and run the church. Over here, Phoebe ain't in. Phoebe ain't in. That's why I told another day, in our church, according to the Bible, the older women in the church are supposed to teach the children and the younger women. The woman is not supposed to teach or usurp authority over the man. That's why we never have a woman teacher in here. We never have a woman over anything that men is in. See, you might say that's male chauvinism or we're prejudiced and we hate. I know that goes against the grain of this age, but that's the way the Bible ordains it. Now, women do more in the church than men do. Do you know that? They really do. They really do. If you took the women out of the average church, it'd fall because they do actually more positions and jobs than the men do. But I'm just saying, Phoebe cannot be a deacon. It says this. Oh, here's another one. Look at verse 7. Salute Andronicus and Junia, whoever that is. You know that guy Junia? My kinsman? Well, they make that into a woman and try to make her an apostle. Okay, let me show you that. The translation makes clear that Junia is a woman. And not just one of the men of note among the apostles. She is rather a woman prominent among the apostles, according to the new RSV. Everybody understand that? Turn to Galatians chapter 5. I don't even know if I should give you this or not, but he's got it in this thing. It's kind of... He's talking about them getting drunk over in John chapter 2. He said that didn't mean, he said that when men drunk the good wine and they got good drunk, then they brought out the old wine. And Jesus waited till everybody got drunk and then went and created 180 gallons of the finest wine after everyone is too soused to notice it. That's true. I had an uncle named Jim. I believe that's what they called him. So this Junia, whatever that is, I don't know how come they try to make that a woman, huh? Maybe that could have been man or woman. See Galatians 5:12? If it'd be nowadays, it could be a man and a woman. He's talking about people that trouble the apostles and cause them a lot of trouble and everything. He said, I would that they were even cut off, which trouble you. Now, what have you always thought that meant? that God just kill them, right? Get them out of the way. These people that were causing trouble in the church, Paul said, I would that they were even cut off. You know what this new one says? I wish that those who unsettle you would castrate themselves. That's the Bible, man. That's what they're saying is the Bible. They're going to be in trouble. They're going to be in trouble. Of course, I believe a lot of them, they just got misled, and they got misled, and they got misled. You know, I believe if a man is sincere, he can be saved and teach that, and he can be sincere, but somebody's going to answer for it. I don't know. I don't really know who, but somebody is. That's what they say in John 2 about that wedding. They say that everybody got good and drunk, and then they brought out the good wine because they got drunk off that old wine. Three kinds, you know. They have bad, worst, and rot gut. And you get drink a rot gut first, then you get the better stuff. All right, does anybody else have any questions right there? Our time's about gone. Okay, brother. Is that right? 43 deacons. I figured they'd run at least 8,000 or 10,000 in Sunday school. Oh, we're getting ready to get some more. I mean, we need some more deacons. But you don't need no 43 deacons for 200 people. Every man in the church is a deacon. They probably ain't 43. Probably about 44 men in there. One's a pastor and the rest of them's deacons.